Blog Talk Radio.
The following is a rebroadcast of a Money Sense episode that originally aired on.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
The following is a rebroadcast of a Money Sense episode that originally aired on Thursday, June 20th, 2019, with special guest Imam Oliver Muhammad of Al-Salam Islamic Center, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yes, yes. All you believe shall lead you to a bargain that will save you from a grievous penalty, that you believe in Allah and His Messenger, that you strive your utmost in the cause of Allah with your property and with your persons. That would be best for you if you but knew. He will forgive you your sins and admit you to gods beneath which rivers flow, and to beautiful mansions and gardens of eternity. That is indeed the supreme achievement. And another favor will he bestow which you do love. Help from Allah in a speedy victory. So give the glad tidings to the believers. Allah speaks the truth. Surely Allah's words are true. Alhamdulillah. As I said, I pray everybody had a successful Ramadan and time for fasting. And one thing we probably learned during this Ramadan and the Ramadan is that we can do without as much as we think we need, that we can do without it. So the challenge for us is to the things that Allah gives us is that we use it in the way of Allah, peace be upon Allah. Allah says, "Amwaluhum bi anfusihum," with our goods and our persons, not just ourselves and our desires and our passions and our longings and the things we think about ourselves, but also the things that Allah has given us at our disposal, that we can place those things at the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that in itself is a kutbah in terms of what does that mean. But we're not going to go into that today, inshallah. But one of the things I was thinking about in the last week or so, as I was trying to say, well, what can we talk about on Money Sense, on this program, that is more than talk, but what can we discuss and talk about and bring to our attention on things that are actionable items. What can we act on? What types of things do we need to do? What kind of changes in our behavior do we need to have? And so this idea that came up with me, and I was listening to a khutbah, or it might have been a Kaleem, a good friend of mine, Imam Oliver Muhammad, out of Raleigh, North Carolina, Al-Salam Islamic Center. And he came up with this concept called economic jihad. So that kind of rang with me, and I was thinking about that, and I said, well, that might be something we can talk about. But then I said, well, what better could we do than not hearing it from me, but going to the source? So I invited Imam Muhammad online with us, and I think he did with him.
Assalamualaikum,
my brother.
Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How you doing, my brother?
Yeah, I'm great. Eid Mubarak for you and your family, brother.
Eid Mubarak, alhamdulillah.
So that was years ago when I heard you mention that concept, economic jihad.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Over years, it's always come back to me. I said, man. So first of all, tell the audience a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to that concept.
Okay, yes. I like to first thank you for inviting me to this wonderful show you have, and I'm very honored to have an opportunity to be here live on what's the AM 360? What is it called?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
AM 360. Yeah, AM 360. Yes, and in particular, it's an Islamic station, and I pray a lot that your station, your show, will be successful. Just a little bit about myself. I initially came into Islam, and particularly the Nation of Islam, when I was 17 years old. And I had a very wonderful life as a child. I used to sit by the every Sunday morning I would listen to Minister Farrakhan at that time. He would give the national broadcast. And even my parents didn't have any problem with me doing it. So eventually I eventually joined the Nation of Islam in the late 60s. And so I've been on this road for a while. And, of course, when Imam Mujahideen Muhammad Rahimullah Lay came into the position of the leader of that community and transitioned it to universal Islam and the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, of course, I followed him that way. And so we've had an opportunity to also not only learn Islam from him, but we have also had an opportunity to study under. I went to the Islamic School of Social and Islamic Sciences. That was the president of Sheikh Taha Jabba Alawani. He was the Mufti in Iraq at one time, as well as the one of the founders of the Fiqh Council of North America and the Islamic Institution the International Institute of Islamic Thought. So he's one of the founding members. But my main influence came from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I was influenced by Malcolm. I should listen to his articles. And my father-in-law, Imam Kenneth Muhammad, who was one of the first pioneers to come to North Carolina and bring Islam in the early days, and he mentored me, and I learned so much from him throughout my association with him. Of course, I loved him so much. He let me marry his daughter, so I've been under his influence and his thinking for a long time. But when it comes to Quranic understanding, Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimullah Alayhi, was my primary teacher. But it's just been a wonderful experience. And this whole idea of economic jihad, I think it's been something that we have been struggling ever since out of slavery. You know, it was to extract the people from the continent of Africa and bring us here without any ownership of our own, and to become owned by slave masters and so forth, which put us in a servile position where we were owned. And so to exist as a people, as property of someone else, and not understanding ourselves and then taking from us that ability to own property, and to just to put us in that psychological mode and that emotional mode to be owned and be profit of somebody else and be totally dependent on them for our food, our clothing, and shelter, it was a crippling experience for our people. And that's that psychology, the effects of slavery, is that we came out of slavery with a dependent mindset, as well as not understanding the value of owning. You know, we eventually, a lot of us did grow out of that. But to transition from being owned as property to another human being, and to transition to become owners of property, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. And we've been struggling with that for hundreds of years. And we can see it in the life of our people, to not have ownership of property. But many of our people did. They, because of the struggle, because of the it's amazing that our people survived that institutional slavery that was designed to totally take away every spark of humanity and every spark of independence from us, to make us totally dependent on someone else. But yet, in spite of that, when we look in our history, we see in many parts of this country, you heard the phrase Black Wall Street. They were all over the country in many, many, many towns and cities. Being born in Durham, we used to have one in Durham. You know, Durham was one of the most progressive African-American communities that we know of in the country, and had banks and insurance companies and hotels and housing and universities and colleges. You know, and that's what's so amazing about our people's struggle, is that that we were able to establish these institutions right out of slavery. And so in the 60s, I'm sure, Ray, ma'am, the phraseology that we used in the 60s was struggle. You know, are you in the struggle?
Right.
You know, that was the struggle.
Right.
It was struggle for our freedom. Struggle for our freedom. Mm-hmm. So that term, struggle, and the term, and we learned later that the same term, struggle, in Islam is the word jihad, which comes from the root word jahada, which means to strive and struggle. And so that word jihad has taken on a negative connotation because of 9/11 and the misplacement of that term by Islamic extremists and radicals and terrorists. So the media has associated that word with terrorism and extremism, and have made it a very ugly, almost like a curse word. So anytime I work in the prison, and one of the inmates, who was a Muslim, he was walking across the compound one day, and he was talking to one of the officers, and he said, "Man, I'm in a jihad." He was talking about prison life, being a struggle.
Right.
And he got locked up. He got locked up just because he used that term. So, but we want to reintroduce this term and associate it with those values and those principles and those things that we need to advance our life, you know. And
yes,
so struggle is good. Struggle is good. So that's the way we look at it.
It's necessary too. Brother Man, we got to play this PSA, and we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this message.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Naja Hussein, and I am the recipient of the Words Made People Scholarship. Last year, I started my first year at the illustrious Spelman College, and the scholarship from CWSC helped me in numerous ways. As everyone knows, college can be very costly. Aside from tuition and fees, supplies and books must be purchased. Alhamdulillah, I was blessed with a full tuition scholarship to my school choice based on my academic excellence. But my scholarship from CWSC was instrumental in making sure I was prepared for all my classes. I was able to purchase my books and also a laptop, which has been extreme help throughout both semesters. I am extremely grateful that I was given this award, and I know that it came about thanks to dedicated members of my community who donated their time and money to making sure scholarships like the Words Make People Scholarship exist. That being said, it is important that people continue to donate, so the scholarship will be available, but it is also necessary that students apply for the scholarship. I hope my story is evidence of the importance of scholarships to college values. Thanks to CWSC, I finished a stellar year at Spelman. I was even inducted into the Alpha Lambda Delta Honor Society for first-year students with a 3.6 GPA or higher. Excelling academically can and will be rewarded for those looking to pursue higher education. Alhamdulillah and Assalamu Alaikum.
All right, she's talking about the scholarship, CWSC scholarship fund. If you want to get more information on that, you can go to cwsc.us. That's cwsc.us on the front page and click on scholarships, and that'll give you more information about the scholarship fund. If you want to donate, or you might want to endow your own scholarship. There's several individuals that have endowed their own scholarship, and every year that that scholarship is given to worthy students. So you can support that. As I said, go to cwsc.us and find out more about the CWSC scholarship fund. All right, Brother Ma'am Olive, and as you were talking and bringing back history and ideas to me, and I'm sure most of the listeners in their own areas have gone through and seen this happening. But getting back to this idea of this jihadist struggle, it is a struggle to establish economic base. Imam Muhammad always said we didn't have to have institutions. So it's not only a struggle on the family level, but to do an institution, you need collective support. You need collection of individuals and families and communities working together to establish institutions. But go ahead and give it, expand a little bit more on that idea of this jihad we're talking about going through.
Yeah, I think we have to, the principle of struggle, the value of struggle, the concept of struggle, I think we need to institutionalize it in our life and in our families and in our community. We see people not willing, you know, we have great ideas about life and living, but people are not willing to go through the process of achieving any goals and dreams that they have because they don't want to go through that process, because they don't want to struggle. They don't want to endure until the end. You know, people want to climb the top of the mountain. I mean, people want to go to the top of the mountain, but nobody want to climb the mountain. You know, people want to become or be a millionaire, but people don't want to go through the process that it takes to become a millionaire. And we look in our life and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in this, on this earth. And, you know, he put Adam in the garden, but it wasn't like he had everything he needed. Adam had to develop things. It's amazing. You have that name of our father, Adam. But I know he struggled. He had to figure, he had to struggle intellectually. I'm sure to understand what am I to do with all of this raw material, you know, with these plants, these trees, and, you know, what I'm going to eat. That were demands that were being put on him, and he had to figure it out. So he had to struggle intellectually. He had to use his mind to figure out and problem solve. So I'm saying that we have to inculcate that concept in our life, in all of the domains of our life, whether it's the spiritual domain, whether it's the intellectual domain, and whether it's the social domain. Now basically, I'm referring to the economic jihad in the social domain. That's where we live, and that's where goods and services and consumption and trade and all those things are done. And we need to develop that area more. We need to develop our social domain. Of course, as you mentioned, which begins in the family. And so the economic struggle has to do with the consumption of goods and services, the production of products and services that people consume. Now, we have been so, most of our people have been on the consumption side, you know. And we haven't been those people who've been dominating the area of production and businesses and providing service. We have some of that, but we are far behind the rest of the human communities in being actual landowners and producers, you know, to provide goods and services and products. And that has been a struggle, you know, that all of the leaders who led our community as Muslims, they always had the economic piece as being one of the foundational things that's needed. Because how can you have a society or anything unless you have a strong economic base? And families are the same way.
Yeah. So true. And I was thinking about, like, in the town right here in Fayetteville, there are maybe two, maybe three known African-Americans that everybody considers to be wealthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they always point to those two or three.
Right.
Well, I personally know of 50 Caucasians that are wealthy, right?
Right.
And I know of some that no one knows that they get money. So we'll go over two or three when the other communities have hundreds. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't be satisfied with the two or three.
Exactly.
You know, that's the big difference. But we do have a caller that wants to chime in.
Let's bring
the call in. Area code 314-296, 314-296.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Kareem Hamid calling in from the city of St. Louis, and I extend the greetings of peace to everyone and a blessed Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa
Ramadan Mubarak, wa Eid Mubarak. Alhamdulillah. What an excellent topic, jihad. I recently learned from our beloved Imam Wazidi Muhammad that when the muezzin makes the call to a prayer and he says, Hayya Allah Salah, we sometime in our minds, we visualize the ritual of the Salat, which that is okay, but there is a deeper a meaning than just the ritual. Salat is any good halal effort, work, any good work, any honorable deed is salat. And the muezzin, he says that twice. Then he says, Hayya la falah, Hayya la falah. Imam Wazidi Muhammad, Rahimullah Alayhi, has stated that the translators have translated that as come to success. But our beloved Imam Rahimullah Alayhi has said that falah is not the word that would be translated into success. Falah, properly translated, means cultivation. Mm-hmm. Cultivation, to cultivate. Mm-hmm. So that is an excellent connection that I pray we all embrace, that we are to come into work and cultivation. That is what the call is for. It is not just success. It is cultivation, the cultivator. I'll stop right there, my brother. Excellent topic. And the Prophet Muhammad, after the successful entry into the city of Mecca, he stated, from this point forward, it is taqwa and jihadu.
Nice.
Thank you, my brother.
Yeah,
thank you. Excellent topic.
Thank you,
Mamo.
Thank you very much, brother. Buddy man, Green. All right, we have another caller. It's area code 251-404, 251-404.
Assalamu alaikum, and Eid Mubarak. This is Henry Hackney, Mobile, Alabama. I'm enjoying the information that's given, but as the the speaker was speaking, what came to mind is that Allah has created man for toil and struggle. And we know we're talking about the human being when we say man in this instance. And I think one of the things that slavery have done, because we toiled and struggled in slavery, it produced a negative connotation about struggle and work. Till today, that as you say, everybody want to get to the top of the mountain, but nobody want to climb. And I think we have to go back and look into that experience of slavery that produced this negative effect on the toiling and the struggle, because Allah said He created us for that. That's natural. We wouldn't have any of these things that we have today, these things that we enjoy and we see and for our conveniences, the travel and all, if man did not toil and struggle. So, but we got to take the negative connotation off of toiling and struggle. Toiling and struggle is not a punishment. It's really a blessing. In order for us to progress, even as a baby, that baby start, when he gets here, he has to start toiling and struggling. And he never gives up till he start crawling, then he start walking. Then, as Imam Muhammad says, then the head, it gets on top. It's out front, then it gets on top. But we have to, we got to take a new attitude, especially as ex-slaves that have come through this experience. We got to take a new attitude about toiling and struggling, and we got to start loving it rather than hating it. I just wanted to add that to the conversation. As-salamu
alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Wa alaykum as-salam. Yes, alhamdulillah. So, Imam Bala, do you want to comment on these the last few callers and something they said?
Yes, I really thank them for even expanding the thought about, you know, what this means. And also, I really like the brother who, the first one, he talked about what the Salat, you know, is the symbol of. And not only that, when you think not only the Salat, but you see the five pillars of Islam and how they have, Allah's counsel, Allah has given us those in a way where we can see the different domains that I mentioned. The first two pillars have to do with the spiritual and the moral life and the ethical life, but then it immediately moves to fasting and charity and Hajj. So that means how can we fulfill the pillar of Zakat if we haven't struggled economically and develop our economic life in a way where we qualify to pay Zakat, you know? And Zakat is 2.5% of your net worth that you were able to hold for a whole year. And then in order to make Hajj, you have to prepare yourself for Hajj. Hajj is not a cheap journey, but it's a pillar of our faith. And every Muslim should be striving to make the Hajj. So if we just focus on being able to position ourselves to be a Zakat payer, you know, and to make Hajj, look how those two pillars inspire us to advance our economic life.
Well, what it would do is, you know, as you said, wealth is what you own minus what you owe. Right?
Exactly. It's the net worth. Yes, that's right.
Most of us are upside down in life.
Right.
Because we owe more than we own. You follow me?
Right.
So as you say, if I'm striving to be able to pay Zakat, that means I'm going to be conscientious about what I spend and how I spend, right? I'm going to be conscientious not to get into debt. Because in this society, when you're in debt, you're paying interest.
Interest is
wealth being depleted, right? So we can raise our children with this idea was that you never get in a position that you owe more than you own.
Right.
That right there will put us ahead of the game, put them ahead of the game in life.
Right.
But unfortunately, in this capitalist society, they entice you to get things that you can't afford.
In order to get right. them, they give you some credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting credit card offers every day in the mail. They're just going to give me a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want
right.
one. They're going to give me one.
Right.
And they're trying to suck
right.
into that. See, that's a struggle
mm-hmm.
right there. That's an economic
it
struggle.
Is. That's right. That's right.
Those are
right. 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 Alhamdulillah. So, you know, so it is, so the principle is right in our beliefs and is right in our practices as Muslims. And so, if we really followed that, really worked hard at trying to position ourselves to please Allah, peace be to Allah, as you mentioned, you know, strive with your property and your person. And that,
right.
that those pillars address the person, your nafs, your soul, and it address what you own, you know,
mm-hmm.
your property.
Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. And I know you said you had, you got some more time, buddy man?
Yes, sir.
Buddy
I got
man.
About
okay.
10 more minutes. Yes, yes, sir. I got about 10 minutes.
Let me play this quick PSA, then we're going to come back to you, and then
okay.
we have a few other people on
okay.
online. See what we can get away. And I do appreciate you taking
okay.
time out this morning.
Sure, brother.
All right. We'll be right back after this message.
Okay.
Joining us. We know that you depend on American Muslim 360 to bring you quality program you can't get anywhere else. So I'm going to ask you to keep us on air and help us to continue this quality program by supporting American Muslim 360 with your contribution. So go now to cwfc.us on your computer, tablet, smartphone, or whatever device Allah has blessed you with, and make your contribution today. American Muslim 360 is believer-supported radio. Now, something I want you to know. For many years, our brother Thomas Abdul Salam and Dr. Aisha Kareem paid for American Muslim 360 out of their own pocket. Well, CWSC has removed the burden, and even CWSC can't do it alone. So we need you to go right now to CWSC.us and make a contribution. Our most popular giving level is $9.99 a month. You can give online right now. It's secure, convenient, and allows each of you to do our part. Together we can remake the world. And if you'd like to phone your pledge in, a representative can assist you right now. Dial 910-317-0297. Yes, that's 910-317-0297. Jazakallah Khair. CWSD and American Muslim 360 appreciate your support.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. We got error code. Stop that. I think this is it. Error code 301-598. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. This is Sister Debbie from Silver Spring, Maryland. I was just thinking about jihad, and to me, jihad is like evolution, you know. It's like, it's not so much the destination as the journey, and it helps develop you and makes you, at least this is what I've noticed about myself in the last 8 years, and knowing you all, it's really helped me develop and make better, and it is hard. It is hard, and it's not very pleasant at times, but the outcome and the better that you're going to be is what's important, and it's worth it then. I just wanted to make that comment. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, that's a wonderful comment, sister, because, you know, Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's not, as the brother said, Allah put us in the world of toil and struggle. Why? Why would an all-merciful, loving God want his creature that he loves so much to struggle and go through pain? And when you think about this whole that whole idea, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's not concerned about what we have to go through, but he's more concerned about what we will become as a result of going through that, as a result of going through that journey. And it builds character, as you said, sister. It strengthens us. It gives us muscles, intellectual muscles,
spiritual muscles, social muscles, and physical muscles. So Allah wants us to, as you said, He wants us to develop ourselves, and the only way to do that is to struggle, is to go through the journey and that process that you mentioned. Yeah, you know, some people want $1 million, but they don't want to become a millionaire because it's not the money that makes you. You can have a millionaire mind because you understand. You can, as they say, a fool and money soon depart. So if you have $1 million, but you haven't become a millionaire, because people who earn great wealth, if it wasn't just an inheritance, if there are certain quality people, they're a certain type of person, they're on another thought level. And because they went through the process, they went through the struggle of becoming that. And so along that journey, they picked up values, they picked up principles, they picked up wisdom, and all of those kinds of things. So it's called experiential learning, and that's what Allah wanted us to do. And because He didn't put Adam in a fully developed world, Adam had to develop the world, and he had to exercise his intellect, he had to exercise his muscles, physical muscles, spiritual muscles, his moral muscles, his social muscles. So all those things had to develop because of his struggle. So that's the benefit of struggle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Deb. I appreciate you chiming in. Alhamdulillah. All right, get our poor laureate on here. Get Bilal on here. Let's see what he has to say. As-salamu alaykum, Bilal.
Alaykum salam, Eid Mubarak, and as-salamu alaykum to you and your guests. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. I'm glad to hear the quality of the people that you have on the show, brother, and we thank you to Allah for that. There's something I would now like to share. Let's take the deal that Allah is giving. So let's invest in the way we are living. Whatever is stopping us from the bargain that Allah is offering us, we must get rid of it. We must be ready to advance our cause. Submission to our maintainer will allow us to become our own boss. There's no reason for us to accept Allah. W.D. Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, accepted the deal. He kept it real. Wisdom comes about because we are willing to struggle and persevere. Although the name of the prophet was over fear. So let's remember, no grief or fear. So we are accepting the bargain that Allah gave us. You will never believe in love. The words of revelation we can trust. Our education that improves our business relations and financial salvation. Praise be to Allah. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaykum as-salam, Bilal. Thank you very much, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, better than my brother. That's Bilal. Bilal,
yes, sir.
Bilal makes up his, he gives us his word in real time.
Alhamdulillah, wonderful. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Real time.
That was wonderful.
Real time.
Yeah, alhamdulillah,
yes,
wonderful.
Sir.
That's great.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir.
So, I know we're near the end, and again, I just want to say, but before you go, I want to ask the audience, because I understand your mother-in-law is not doing well, Sister Margaret.
Yeah.
Dean,
right.
Muhammad.
Yeah.
And just everybody to know, she's from Carolina. She's like the
Bilal
of Prince in the season.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'll say that because
yeah.
I've been going to Bilal for years and years and years.
He was on the RFS-1.
Her
yeah.
Words and deep work. Not just her words, but her works.
Had to go in the back office to talk to him.
She is known for her works.
Yeah,
so
he
please,
just heard himself. He really
was confident for the health and well-being of Sister Margaret. I just want to say that to you, Brother Imam, and to your family. And
thank you, brother.
Lord.
Thank you.
Thank
you so much. Thank you so much.
I
really appreciate
it.
Yes, sir.
But during
Ramadan,
thank you
so much.
Oh,
well, yes, I just like, again, I'd like to thank you for allowing me this opportunity to be on your show. And just to listen to your callers, I pray Allah that He continues to bless the show as a means to educate people and inspire people, and keep the vision of Imam Wasi Muhammad of building a new Africa and a community that leaves nothing out of good, And pray a lot that we all can pick up this principle and value and concept of jihad and inculcate it first in ourselves and in our families, and let the world know and the community know that this is not a bad word. It's not a bad word. It's a beautiful word, and it's not a narrow word that just talk about warfare. It don't even mean that. The prophet he emphasized that, and the Quran it emphasized the fact that it's a concept that all human beings have to engage in.
Yeah. Right. Most definitely. Yeah. Most definitely. You know, and that's a great educational piece. War in the Quran is qatil.
That's a fighting. That's right. Qatil. That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. And there's a time for that, but this is the time. Even before you get there,
right.
You have to do good jihad on your soul. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The bigger jihad is inside."
Jihad. That's right.
Jihad is not.
That's right. Jihad do not. That is jihad al-akbar. That's the greater one. Great struggle.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And we struggle every day, brother. So, buddy, man,
every
I'm
day,
let you know you got an open invitation, then, and you know we're here.
Okay,
at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Yes, and one more thing, I'll be remiss. So, Aslam Islam Center is trying to build a new masjid.
Yes,
right?
We are. It's coming along fine. We're in the last phase. We have our plans with the city council to give us the permits. We want to start building before the first of the year, and we're always in a fundraising mode. We're almost there. We're not far away. You know, we almost there. Alhamdulillah, and we thank everybody who made a contribution to this effort. Allah says, when you help a good cause, you become a partner therein. And he also said that anyone who builds a house in this life for his pleasure, even if it's the size of a bird's nest, he will build you one in Jannah. So that's our line, and we encourage people to contribute to it. And you can go to our website, islamic.org, islamic, that's islamic.org, and you can make a contribution towards Islam Islamic Center building fund.
Well, let me say for the audience that you're not trying to build a bird's nest, so, you know, I don't want people to take that literally.
Okay. Abdullah. Right. Yeah, Abdullah.
Yeah,
but that's a metaphor, you know.
Yeah, I understand, but see, some people take it literally, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
Abdullah. So
that's funny.
Give everybody the greeting for us, brother. Inshallah,
I sure will, brother.
And that was Imam Oliver Muhammad, Imam of Aslam Islam Center in Raleigh, North Carolina. And we thank Allah for his input in that and expanded the concept of economic jihad, because we have to undertake that. We have to be on that, whether it's for ourselves, our families, and most definitely our community. He talked about the legacy of Imam Muhammad. And if you want to support that legacy, and I see no reason why we should stop, because we say we're of the community of Imam Muhammad. And that means that we should undertake his legacy, what he was trying to do. And it's not a secret of what he was trying to do. It's not something that's to be signed up on, whatever. There's volumes of information out there right now. Where he talks about things that he wanted to see in the community. So, you know, so there's volume of information. And so we don't have to do like the Christians do. Everybody talks the Bible, but nobody's read it. You know, we don't want to fall in that kind of bag where we talk about things, but no one reads and knows about it or whatever. His goal, his mission, his vision is not complete. And in order to make it complete, there has to be a jihad. There has to be a struggle. And man is created in toil and struggle. Allah says in Quran, we're created in toil and struggle. So struggling never ends. All right? It never ends. Allah tells us that after difficulty, there comes relief. And after difficulty, there comes relief. So when you're free of your immediate task, still strive hard until you overcome all of your attention. So we should never let up. We should never die. We should never quit. We should never be in a situation where we think that we've got it going on so much that we don't have to struggle anymore. We can't fall victim to what they have in this world that is designed to take us off of our focus. This world is marvelous at taking man off of his focus.
Because
they don't want us to focus on the law.
I'm going to take that. No,
what
take
the law requires of us. They're always throwing something in the mix designed to take us off of our focus. And as Muslims, especially, we have our focus
point. I'm going to crack
up. And as a people who are, as African Americans, we definitely can see that we need to do more in what we're doing. We don't want to come off of that focus on what we're trying to do. Man Muhammad left us many
points,
many lectures. And
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Latifa A. Hamid, CEO for AM360. I would like to extend Ramadan Mubarak to all Muslims. As we approach Ramadan, let us be mindful that this is a month that is dedicated only to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan quotes by Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the month of Ramadan arrives, the door of mercy is open. Fasting is a shield that will protect you from the hellfire and prevent you from sin. Ramadan is a month whose beginning is mercy, whose middle is forgiveness, and whose end is freedom from hellfire. Every action a son of Adam does shall be multiplied. A good action by 10 times its value, up to 700 times. Allah says, with the exception of fasting, which belongs to me, and I reward it accordingly. For one abandons his desire and food for my sake. There are two occasions of joy for the fasting person. One when he breaks his fast, and the other when he meets his Lord. And bad breath of the fasting person is better in the sight of Allah than the fragrance of musk. O Allah, we seek you, your help, and we ask you for faith that doesn't fade, blessings that do not deplete, and the company of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the highest level of your paradise. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and Ramadan Mubarak.
Assalamu alaikum. I am Aisha Kareem for Community Wide Shura Conference, American Muslim 360 Broadcasting Network. In this annual season of Ramadan, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can sanction the entire international ummah to enter into a worldwide fitr season for the benefit of religious restoration and to demonstrate tawheed, the oneness of humanity and the oneness of Allah. Allah has sent down the Quran to humanity, perchance that we should not look upon Ramadan as a burden, but as a gracious blessing, that through the searing heat, we are only being reshaped, reformed, and renewed spiritually and otherwise to boost our capacity for human excellence through compassion, patience, and charity, and to increase our potential to be firm in pain, and in suffering and in adversity out of love for him. From the TWSC and AM 360 family, we wish you and your family Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan is here.
Now I got a plan before it's come and gone. Getting close to a line, spend a lot of time. See the condition of my heart like a sonogram. Everybody knows we got the fast. But does everybody know how the time is past? Is it sleeping all day and the nights a blast? And forgetting the reward in the months of fast. I know you gonna wake up right. Drinking water, maybe being pie. Praying at sunrise, fast in the day. Keeping that dean tight. Breaking fast with the day's part of where at night. Alright. It's a blessed month, doesn't mean that it's hard that you can't have fun. But strive in your heart, be your Lord the one, and be blessed by your love when the month is done.
I'm busting the door like, get yourself up, you about to miss the whore. Turkey bacon on the plate, but I'm beefing. I'm upstairs sleeping while they down here eating. Scenes like this, it makes me reminisce what it meant. Growing up with Ramadan as a kid, my homies buying up the corner store. Now latest quarter waters, we break it eight, but it's quarter to four. They got jokes, like, oh yeah, he's fasting. Something about blessings, heaven everlasting. Asking, like it feds up on me. But dude, let me ask you for real, is you hungry? I hunger for the day when the sins of my slate be as empty as the food on my plate. And if you got jokes, man, here's a taste. Take a little rap, just rap to the face.
More donations, dinner invitations, many supplications. Good behavior means better reputations. Don't start nothing, no provocations. No fighting, no argumentation. From the fitna and the drama, take a vacation. Mosque is packed with a huge congregation. Some just come as an annual visitation. Some just come for the hum of the recitation. Memorization of revelation. Less temptation and more contemplation. Getting ready for the Eid celebration. Shake a lot of hands, giving salutations. Salam alaikum, peace upon the nation. The world is one, forget the segregation. Another Ramadan, congratulations.
Latifa Hameen, CEO for American Muslim 360. Join us for the American Muslim 360 virtual Muslim business advertisement booklet that will come out every 6 months. The first ad booklet will be coming out on Friday, May the 6th, 2022. The last day to put an advertisement in the booklet is March the 31st. You have a full page, a half a page, and a business page. Send your payments to CWSC on PayPal.com. If you don't have a PayPal account, you can use your credit card. In the note, put AM360 ad booklet, your name, your email, the size of your ad. The full page is $100 for 6 months. The half page is $50 for 6 months, and the business card is $25 for 6 months. For a year, the full page is $200, half page is $100, the business card is $50. So you state whether you want 6 or 12 months. Once you have paid the fee, You email your ad to info@cwsc.us and make sure the name in the email is the same on the paypal.com you sent to ensure the correct ad page. Thank you so much. Inshallah, we look forward to serving you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
With Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer, we are grateful to announce that during the month of Ramadan, here on American Muslim 360, yours truly, Kareem Hamid and Michael Hameen, shall share the Ramadan sessions of Imam Warithuddin Muhammad Sunday evenings from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360 Radio. We look forward to your presence pre-Ramadan Mubarak. Assalamu alaikum.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims that have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Warithuddin Muhammad radiallahu anh, and we all explained its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month where we would deal with the basics.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
That is, peace be unto you. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we'd like to welcome everyone to New Day for Islam in America, Ramadan Mubarak, and this is the show that deals with current events, trending topics, and issues of concern from the Muslim perspective. And as we always say, the Muslim perspective is and always should be the human perspective. My name is Yusuf Ramadan, and we are really pleased and happy to be here with you today on this first day of Ramadan, the month of extreme heat, the month of fasting, and we will be talking today about the first Ashra, the first Ashra, the first 10 days of Ramadan, which is characterized by mercy. The first 10 days characterized by mercy. The second 10 days is characterized by forgiveness, and the third is freedom from the fire. Alhamdulillah. So we are very happy. We're very pleased that this year we really haven't had any fitna, any controversy about what day to start fasting. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has seen fit that you know, we don't have that controversy this year. It really is never an occasion for controversy, as our beloved Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim al-Alay has told us that, you know, it's not designed that way. It's not designed that way, that we have to start and stop all at the same time, as we're in different time zones, et cetera. And I want to share with you what Imam Darnell Kareem, my good friend, is gracious enough to share with me. And as you know, Imam Darnell was a boyhood companion and a classmate of Imam Arthur D. Muhammad. Him and his wife, Sister Gloria, were in the Imam's Arabic class, alhamdulillah. So he shared this with me, and I'm sharing with you, and this is directly from the Imam. The month of Ramadan, night of power, and Eid celebration. And this is from 2007. Please note, this information was given as he spoke to me, Imam Darnell Kareem. There may be some words missing, words, but the words are given is history. They came directly from Imam W.D. Muhammad in Chicago, 2007. It was to be shared with the community. We should begin fasting when it is cited, Hilal, in the USA. And we know we have a moon sighting committee, you know, for the whole, the continental USA. That is from east to the west, from north to south. Not in some other country, because they would be outside of our time zone. Obstruction because of cloudiness, weather conditions. If we cannot sight it for some reason, it is cloudy, the weather is bad or something. For me, the best way to be accurate or possible is not to join somebody outside the time zone. Use this method, but to use the scientific method we use to calculate when we would begin the month of Ramadan. Scientifically speaking, the new moon is black. You cannot see anything. The conditions where we are not able to get a sighting. So that's a new moon. The new moon is the black moon. Science saying this, it is these calculations between 30 to 40 hours after the sighting. It would be the third day after sighting the Hilal, crescent. In the third day, the night of the third day, you may make your prayers and make your intentions to fast the next morning, next day. I guarantee you will be accurate, almost 100%, the starting of the month of fasting. If that is the case, anywhere within the United States, anyone citing it who meets that criterion of being reliable and truthful person, then we share beginning our fast when it is cited. And on the night of power. And so we know that Allah has told us, brothers and sisters, that a month in the sight of Allah is 29 or 30 days. So on the 29th day of Shaban, the attempt was made to sight the moon. And it was virtually impossible anywhere in the world, not just the continental United States, to sight the moon. So the next day, which was yesterday, Wednesday, was the 30th day. So they did send some pictures of the Hilal, but it wasn't really necessary because since it was the 30th day of Ramadan, we have to begin fasting anyway, correct? We have to begin fasting anyway because we know that that would be the 30th day of Shaban, which is Wednesday, making today Thursday the first day of Ramadan, okay? And this is very important that we have this understanding. Very important. And the same thing applies with the Eid. The same thing applies with the Eid, you know. I have been in the so-called Middle East. I've been in the so-called Middle East and called back here to the States. And it was daytime here and nighttime there and vice versa, okay? So if we're not eating at the same time and we're not fasting at the same time, then how would we begin at the same time unless the Allah lines it up that way, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has lined it up that way. So we're in the blessed month of Ramadan. And this month is characterized by blessings. So we say Ramadan Mubarak. Ramadan Mubarak, you know? And there's many, so many blessings that we get. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, "Uzbilahi minash rajim, bisalat mi rahim, O you who believe, fasting is prescribed to you as it was prescribed to those before you, that you may learn self-restraint. Self-restraint. And look how the lack of self-restraint. Well, we don't really have to look around at celebrities, right? That's right in our faces. We see what happened even in the White House. Whether it's a Democrat, whether it's a Republican, we don't want to get into that. You know, we know there's people that they live and breathe. Oh, he's a Democrat, or the Democrats are at fault, or the Republicans are at fault. No, the ones that's at fault are human beings. Human beings make those mistakes, regardless as a political party. And I've shared with you many times that they put on and shed party affiliation the way people do with their underwear. Just put them on and take them off whenever they're convenient, whenever they get ready. So we can't subscribe to that fanaticism. No, this is the Umtul Wusta, the midway community, not going too far to the right or too far to the left. That's what Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us to do. Don't go too far to the right or too far to the left, okay? And we follow the middle course, the Wusta, the middle course, you know. We don't become extremists. We don't become extremists, you know, if anything. And we see electoral politics for what it is. So we should participate. The Imam told us to participate, but we don't get caught up in that. Our faith is in Allah. Our faith is in our way of life, you know. And that's what this deen is. It's not a religion, though you can use it as a religion, but it is a way of life. It's a way of life. And this Ramadan comes, one brother said to me, he just said to me yesterday, for me, it always comes on time. And I said, I know. For you and all of us, it always comes on time. Not just for you. for all of us, it comes exactly when it's supposed to come. Because we're in need of what they call behavior modification. Behavior modification. And this verse indicates that the first lesson of wisdom to be gained in fasting is self-restraint. So the imam shared with us how you know, we are to give, but we also to withhold from giving in the way that Allah has taught us. You're supposed to give, but you also withhold. Because don't forget, this during the daylight hours, those of us who are married, you know, we don't participate in what would otherwise be lawful sex with our mates, with our wives, with our husbands. Yes, we don't. So it says give, but it also says don't give, right? Your body is saying give me some liquid, give me some water, give me some food, and we have to say no, not at this time, not at this particular time. Wait, you have to wait. We will give you some food, we will give you some nourishment, but we want you now. So what is to be gained by that? And there's people who are like, oh, that's not good for you. Scientifically, no, you have to eat. Now, we know that Allah has said those who are on a journey or ill, they're not to fast. And I've had good brothers, good friends of mine who are on dialysis and still fasting. Now, that's not, you know, that's not advisable. That's not advisable. And other people who had long COVID or whatever, they may be listening. I hope they don't get offended. Suffering under long COVID, suffering with carrying around a oxygen tank. Oh, the doctor told me I could fast. Why did you even discuss it with him? Why would you discuss that with him? Your common sense should have told you you're not in a position to fast. So Allah has given us those dispensations. Fasting instills in the heart the essence of consciousness of the Creator. Moral courage, both in secret and manifest, guiding the heart, the seat of emotion, from spoilage and moral indecency. It has been reported that Abdul Malik bin al-Asma'i was in Mecca when Ramadan came, so he decided to leave for Taif to escape its heat. On the way, he met a Bedouin who told him that he was heading for Mecca. Abdul Malik asked him, aren't you afraid of Meccan heat in Ramadan? The Bedouin replied, it is from the heat, hellfire, I'm running away by heading to Mecca to worship. Fasting instills taqwa, fear of Allah, and does so by controlling two aspects of the human body, which are the root causes of human downfall, namely the stomach and the private parts. The human body is constructed with the need to please the two of them, and in the process, man transgresses the rights of others, fellow human beings, and the commandments of Allah are violated. Also, we know that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when he pointed to two things. He said, if you can control these, he pointed to the tongue and the private parts, I will guarantee you the paradise. So during the month of Ramadan, it is said that when someone attempts to argue with you or bicker with you, and I had to do that on social media, you know, and you're supposed to say what? Three times is the tradition, I'm fasting. So you don't want to violate the fast by getting into these petty and silly arguments. No, you don't want to violate your fast, because arguing, bickering, so there's more ways to violate your fast besides eating and drinking and participating in sexual activity during the daylight hours. There's other ways to violate your fast. You see? And Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, is reported to have said, many a man or woman have gotten nothing from their fast except hunger and thirst. They've got nothing. So it's more to the fast, right? Much more to it. And those of us who have fasted decades now, Allahu Akbar. Look at that. We fasted for decades. Such a blessing to be given that life and to use that life to obey our Lord. And it said that all of the acts of my servants, that's Allah talking, are for them, except fasting is for me, and I will reward it. So behavior modification, you know, all of us have things, have what they call edges that we need to deal with. We have edges in our lives that we need to deal with. We know we don't have to share that. We don't have to share that. Tell people what it is. Sometimes it may be a lack of discipline to get things done. So we like to procrastinate, put things off, put off for tomorrow what we can do today. And they say, never put off for tomorrow what you can do for today. Because tomorrow is promised to no man, right? So, yes, we have things that we need to do. We need to get our trust and our wills together for our families. Yeah, we need to do that. We need to educate ourselves. We need to keep our word to ourselves that we're going to learn more of the Quran, memorize the Quran, be able to make our prayer better. Yes, some of us been reciting the same surahs for those same decades. And many of us, you know, we were blessed to start a Salat class last Ramadan, you know, because a sister came to me that I've known for many, many years since I was a young man, and she was in the first, when we referred to the first, she was in the Nation of Islam. In fact, she was a lieutenant among the MGT, and she called me, and it was around this time of year. It was on a Friday, too. And I don't usually like to talk on the phone before Juma because I'm preparing myself mentally and physically, you know, taking the ghusl, or, you know, thinking about what I have to talk about for the khutbah. And I saw her calling, so I took her call. And she told me, you know, I'm a little embarrassed because I don't know how to pray. And I had been thinking about starting a Salat class, and I took it as a sign from Allah that it's time that we have a class, especially with Zoom, making it convenient, et cetera. And we instituted that, and I asked two brothers to lead it, and we've been doing that ever since. So you listen to New Day of Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. So please, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. 1-800-273-8697. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. Yes, alhamdulillah. So we're grateful to AM360 for broadcasting the recitation of the Holy Quran on the airwaves. It makes it very convenient to listen to, you know. Another sister asked me about the reading of the Quran, the juice, 1/30th during the month of Ramadan, and where was it to be found in the Quran? And I told her that, well, it's not in the Quran, but it is in the Hadith, you know, and that Muhammad the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, he was in the habit of reciting the Quran during the month of Ramadan, and in his last year of life, he recited it twice. So we commemorate this wonderful gift, this miracle of the Quran by reciting it, you know. And we're not afraid of questions, you know. We're just afraid of questions that are not given with the right spirit, you know. But we're not afraid of questions, and continuing, you know, about the behavior modification. You know, they talk about these like these are new things, behavior modification. You know, this is the time to challenge ourselves. Allah challenges us, you know, to put down those bad habits that we've acquired during the year. And Allah has been very gracious to us, and we should be grateful to Him that He has allowed us to see another Ramadan. Because many of us that were here last Ramadan, they're not here this Ramadan. Yes, they didn't make it to the next Ramadan. So we never know. So it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a major blessing, a mercy that Allah has blessed us to see another month of Ramadan, and we are to. As the Imam explained to us, it's important that we make our intentions to fast not only the next day, we intend to fast today, but also for the month of Ramadan, you know. And the Imam explained to us how important it was to stop on time, stop fasting, as equally as important as it is to begin the fast on time. We're not, you know, I can recall being a young man and lacking understanding and saying, you know, oh, the sun is down. Oh, I'm not hungry. It's not a question of you being hungry. Same thing goes for the Sahur meal. Well, I don't need to eat anything. No, there's blessing in the Sahur meal. There's great blessing in the Sahur meal, you know, to sustain you during the day, but following in the practice of Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, there's great blessing in that, you know. And we need to hydrate and drink enough water. We need to take our medication. Those of us that have medication, we can take it early in the morning, you know, before the sun comes up. If we need to take some more, we can take it after the sun goes down, you know. So a lot of times you need to eat before you take your medicine. Some medications, you can say, it's all right to take it on an empty stomach, you know, and some recommend to take with food. So we have to be mindful of that. And the Imam explained to us about Allah giving us the dispensation of saying, when you travel, you don't fast. Those who are on a journey, ill or on a journey. Oh, I don't want to have to make it up. But Allah knew when he gave the provisions for the Ramadan fast that you were going to be on a journey. That means he wanted you to make it up. Oh, no, I don't want to be fasting when everybody else is eating. He wanted you to have to fast when everybody else is eating. If you have to make that trip, now, if you don't have to make the trip, you know, there's conditions. You have to be at your home. And I've fasted after I've traveled, you know, and got to where I was. But it's not like being in your home where you know where all the provisions are. You have to go out, and you have, once you reach your destination, you have to get those things to make you comfortable, the things that you eat and drink, you know, when you break your fast and for your sahur meal, et cetera. There's nothing like being at home. So Allah knows best, not you. Not you. So, and I've traveled and broken my fast when I traveled, and I felt so good. I felt good breaking my fast because I was following the guidance. It's not about I don't need to eat when the sun goes down or I don't feel hungry. It's about who follows the guidance the best. And, you know, there's a tradition that says that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when he entered into the paradise, he heard footsteps in front of him. He said, who could that be in front of me? And it was Bilal. It was Bilal. And he asked Bilal, how did you get in front of me? And Bilal said, because I did whatever Allah ordered me to do, commanded me to do, asked me to do, nothing more and nothing less. So it's about obedience. It's not to show you to be that you are a marathon man or a marathon woman. I don't have to eat. I don't need to eat. I don't need to drink nothing. I'm strong. You know, when I first, the first year that I fasted, and one of my cousins, my first cousin of mine, we were playing tennis, and we were playing outdoors, and it was a little warm. It was warm too, and we were playing tennis, and fasting, you know, and you know, we were getting thirsty. We were young, you know, in good shape, you know, alhamdulillah. But one brother said, "Man, you're out there running." And it was a clay court too. You know, we kicking up all this dust and everything. And the brother said, "Man, y'all out there playing tennis like that?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Brother, you're not fasting. You're torturing yourself. You're not fasting. You're torturing yourself." And I thought back on that. And there was many times that I was torturing myself. You know, Prophet Muhammad, the Imam has shared with us that during the month of Ramadan, you know, he restrains himself from doing certain activities, you know, not that you have to do that, but he restrains himself from you know, overindulging, listening to music or going to the movies or doing those things like that, and he tries to restrict his attention on Allah and pleasing Allah and doing, this is a different time. You know, I recall years ago, my daughter was much younger, and one of her friends, who was not a Muslim, and Ramadan was during during the summer, and she said, when my daughter told her, she couldn't participate, she couldn't go with them to different places, or she chose not to, and she said, Ramadan has been, the summer has been officially canceled. But that's not true. It was only 30 days. And how many years like this? It's not in the summer. And it's kind of cool. It's very pleasant. It's in the 60s here in New York. Not too hot. I fasted in the 90s when the temperature was up in the 90s, the high 90s. And So have you. And I fasted in the cold. I fasted when the sun was going down at 5 o'clock, 5:30. Now it's going down here in the east after 7 o'clock. You know, if you travel down to Atlanta, it's later than that. You know, but you get an extra hour in the morning, but then at night you gotta fast a little bit longer. You see? So we fasted, what, 14 hours, 15 hours a day? Oh, yeah. So if we started fasting, what, this morning, about 5:30, so we're going to be fasting about 14 hours now, this time of year. Yeah, we stopped eating and drinking about 5:30 this morning, made the prayer. You know, Allah tells us that you can fast, you can eat until the white thread becomes distinct from the black thread. And the companions were holding up black and white threads, and the prophet, you know, he corrected them, said, no, that's not what it means. You know, when you can eat until you see the white thread of dawn. When you see that white thread coming, then you have to stop. But we try to say, We take a time and we stop a little bit before then, just to be on the safe side. You don't want to run into that. You don't want to run into that. You know, we have a calendar that one of the masjids puts out, and it says for March 23rd, which is today, it says Thursday. It says stop eating at 5:35. You know. Stop eating at 5:35. And then the Fajr comes in at 5:40. They're saying 5:40, okay? So do you have to stop at that time? They're just doing that to give you a guideline. And it goes back. I'm looking. By the end of Ramadan, the 30th day, April 21st, they want you to stop eating at 4:42. Quarter to five. So we have to put the time back that we get up, you know, for the sahur. So these are all things that we learn, you know. I try to time it myself with the sunrise. Let me give you a sunrise. I try to stop an hour before what they say the sunrise is going to be. You know, these are just some of the tips that I have learned, you know. You don't have to follow that. But one of the most important things fasting affords the observer is helping him control or change his or her habits. The reason being that human life is an embodiment of acquired habits. To change or control a habit is to wage a war on yourself. If jihad is mandatory on every believer because it's the peak of the essence in Islam, and it entails changing habits, the fasting is the training ground for the inevitable that will occur. And that is the name. You know, I gave my son that name. And some people say, oh, why would you give him that name? Because the Jihad al-Akbar, the struggle. Jihad means the struggle. Huh? The Jihad al-Akbar, the greater jihad, is the struggle against yourself. And I told him, I gave him that name because if he know what I know, he will struggle and never stop struggling, because life is a struggle. You struggle from the time you come out of your mother's womb. You're struggling coming out. And some babies, they come out crying or whatever the case may be, you know. And if the doctor doesn't, sometimes the doctor will slap them on the bottom to get them to take that breath, take it in, and they begin to cry, you know. So it's important that we never stop struggling to please our Lord. We never stop struggling against those lower desires that are constantly bubbling up, that are constantly assaulting us through our eyes, through our senses. And we see things that challenge us. Yeah, challenge us. And Allah tells us how to deal with those things. You know, those of us that have struggles with diabetes and other things like that, the fast can be good for you. You know, it can be good for you to keep your sugar levels down, et cetera. And another one of my cousins told me that the doctor cut his medication in half because he told him he would be his diabetes medicine in half because he would be fasting. Now, my doctor never told me that, you know, but, he told me to just take it in the morning if I had to take another one in the evening. Take that in the evening, you know, and it definitely helps to regulate your blood sugar levels as well as other things. But that's not the main reason. The main reason is that we learn self-restraint and that we be obedient. We might drop a few pounds, and, you know, I always talk about the brother. I never bring his name up, but he claims that he gained weight during Ramadan. Now, I don't know how in the world he's able to manage. Well, I do know. His sahur meal is like seven courses. No, you're supposed to eat something light, something to satiate your hunger and to give you nourishment throughout the day. You know, I can't tell him what to eat or how much to eat, you know, but I know you shouldn't be gaining the weight during the month of Ramadan, you know. And he's a brother that struggles with weight issues, you know. So you listen to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, and number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We have some important announcement for you. So please don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Peace be with you and welcome to Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and Instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Fitzer as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Steward Conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
And we're back, and I see we have a caller. from 314-833. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Yes, assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Ramadan, and to your very astute radio listening audience. This is Mark Shahid from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say Ramadan Mubarak to everyone, and alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. I'm really enjoying the information that you're given in regards to Ramadan, you know, and what triggered something in terms of its purpose, as we know that in Surah Baqarah, the second surah, which is the longest surah of the Quran, then 183, where Allah says, "O you who believe, that fasting, siyam, fasting, is prescribed, and Imam Muhammad said, not only prescribed, but is inscribed for you as it was for those before you." And the expression is so that you may learn self-restraint. But Imam Muhammad was teaching us on the Quranic Arabia, which is tatakun, tatakun. And he said tatakun is a derivative of the word taqwa. So when he went back in terms of giving the tafsir, so that you may learn to be more conscious, regardful of God, your Lord and Creator. And so the self-restraint becomes the byproduct of becoming more conscious, regardful of Allah's word, will, and way, in terms of being, as you so eloquently articulated, the obedience. But that becomes the byproduct of that, being conscious, more regardful of me. This is very, very important, because as we go through the days in the month of Ramadan, these first 10 days, as you well know, is that of mercy and then forgiveness. Why mercy first? Allah extends that to us, but we are also to extend mercy to our family, our friends, our neighbors, community members, because mercy is a prerequisite to be able to forgive people. Sometimes people, you've heard people before, I know I have, say, "I can't forgive that person. They're just merciless." Now, we can't be the most merciful, because only Allah is the most merciful, and He tells us all the time, He's all-forgiving, most merciful. But we have the capacity to extend mercy and to be able to forgive. But oftentimes the last 10 days is that we don't get a lot of information from. But Imam Muhammad has given us the tafsir and insight on that, in terms of those last 10 days being emancipation, liberation, freedom, deliverance from the fire. But what fire? The fire of our own passion, you see. And oftentimes during the course of the year, our passions are leading us. And so the self-restraint is a byproduct of being more conscious, regardful of Allah in that regard, that actually becomes the self-management, the self-control, self-discipline, self-restraint, and all. It should free us from the fire of our own passion. Just like we looking at the life to come, Imam Muhammad said, you don't have to worry so much about that fire. If you take care of the fire, that the fire of passion that we have, and oftentimes we are led by those passions. So putting control over these things that are natural urges that have been put into the fitra, it even gives us just that much more strength to be able to discipline ourselves from the unnatural things. So I just wanted to say that, you know, just add a little 2 cent worth in there. So hopefully that will be helpful to us as we are actually fasting, because at the end, he said, that is the victory, a victory over the original nature. And it's actually, we see it in Eid al-Fitr, the recurring of happiness in terms of being victorious and being delivered back to our original nature, which is obedience from the very beginning. Thank you. May Allah continue to bless you and us. A blessed Ramadan to all. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Well, thank you, Brother Mark. Walaikum salam. Ramadan Mubarak to you. And 636-980, Brother Imam. Imam Kareem. Imam Kareem. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. And I extend the greetings of Ramadan Mubarak to everyone. Alhamdulillah for this blessed month. I want to alert the listening audience that every Sunday during the month of Ramadan, between the hours of 5 and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we shall share the Ramadan sessions of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad from the 2-set volume of collections entitled The Ramadan Sessions of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad. We welcome everyone, and we are grateful to share the Ramadan sessions of our beloved Imam Waliduddin Muhammad, and all are welcome. Once again, may we all have a blessed Ramadan. Praise be to Allah. As-salamu alaykum, Imam Yusuf Ramadan.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you so much, Brother Imam. And also, 646-339, state your name and where you're calling from, please. Can you hear me? It seems like it's having a little problem opening up this mic. Hmm? Six four six three three nine. I don't know why this is not opening. Let's see. Let me try it again. I don't know if it's my computer or if it's that's not opening. Okay. All right, there we go. 66. Let's. Imam Kareem again.
Yes, I have noticed that when I give commentary, immediately afterwards, my phone says, goodbye, and it hangs up. So I was just calling back in to reconnect with your wonderful broadcast, Imam Yusuf Ramadan. Praise be to Allah.
I'm trying to bring in someone from 646-339, but it's not allowing me to bring them in.
Okay, their mic is open. I'm observing their mic is open, but they have not pressed one on their phone.
State your name and. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I don't see their. Yeah, I don't see their hand up. Okay. All right. So, if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment in the few minutes that we have left, please press one on your phone. Any other further comments, Brother Imam, you'd like to make during this blessing?
Yes, sir. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. We have a lot to be grateful for. We have a whole lot to be grateful for. And that gratitude shall feed the enthusiasm for denying ourselves for the pleasure of Almighty God Allah. We should follow the Ramadan fast to the letter. It is not how long and all of that. It is who can keep the disciplines that are required during the month of Ramadan. So we look forward to this every year, a rejuvenation, a recalibration. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. And may we continue to keep up the principles associated with the Ramadan fast throughout the whole year. Show mercy to one another, forgiveness, and freedom from the hellfire. I'll stop right there. I see we have 914. Want me to open up their mic, Imam Yusuf. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, sir. Walaikum salam.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I thank you for that. We're looking at 914-297. State your name, where you're calling from, please.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, Brother Yaqi Abdul Ali from Mount Vernon, New York, Yusuf Shah Islamic Center, Ramadan Mubarak. How are my brothers and my family?
Ramadan Mubarak to you, Brother Yaqi.
Tigran, good to hear your voice, Brother Imam. Brother Imam, I just want to know, towards the end, I just want to just throw out something and what you had mentioned earlier. I just wanted to embellish it, you know, a little more, because, you know, the science says that the average human being or the average American, let's leave it in this country, is walking around already dehydrated, which just means insufficient amount of water, not enough water in the body. So this time of the year, during Ramadan, where we're fasting, we have to be very, very cognizant of being, you know, properly hydrated, you know. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And this is the formula that I got from Gary Noll. He says that whatever your body weight is, say, for example, I'm 200 pounds. So you cut your body weight in half, divide it in half, and those are the amount of ounces that we should be striving to drink. So that would be 100 ounces for me. So it's 128 ounces in a gallon. So I should be striving to drink at least 3/4 of a gallon or better. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to throw that out there, Brother Imam. And this one other concept I'm going to throw out as I leave off the line is this three words, and I pray that this community embellishes this. It's cleansing, detoxification, and rejuvenation. I appreciate you, Brother Imam, and love you, and stay strong, and bless the Ramadan, everyone. Pray everyone have a successful Ramadan. Okay, shukran. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Salaam. I appreciate you too, Brother Yahya. You've been helping us to stay healthy with your delicious elixirs for many years, and bringing up our consciousness on the need to detoxify and be healthy, alhamdulillah. So, we're coming near the end of the show, and we need to, if you have a question or a comment, you only have a minute or two to come in and do so, you know. We sent out some information on the month of Ramadan coming in, with the last the sermon that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, gave on the Friday before the last Friday in Shaban, and it's very prescient, very important. And it says, O people, ahead of you is the blessed month of Allah. It's here. A month of blessing, mercy, and forgiveness. A month which with Allah is the best of months. Its days, the best of days. Its nights, the best of nights. And its hours, the best of hours. It is the month which invites you to be the guests of Allah and invites you to be one of those near to him. Each breath you take glorifies him. Your sleep is worship. Your deeds are accepted, and your supplications are answered. So ask Allah, your Lord, to give you a sound body. We're just talking about that. And enlightened heart, so you may be able to fast and recite his book. For only he is unhappy who is devoid of Allah's forgiveness during this great month. Remember the hunger and thirst of the day of Qiyamah, judgment. With your hunger and thirst, give alms to the needy and poor, honor your old, show kindness to the young ones, maintain relations with your blood relations, guard your tongues, close your eyes to that which is not permissible for your sight, close your ears to that which is forbidden to hear, show compassion to the orphans of people so compassion may be shown to your orphans, repent to Allah for your sins, and raise your hands in dua during these times, for they are the best of times, and Allah looks towards his creatures with kindness, replying to them during the hours and granting their needs if he is asked. O people, indeed your souls are dependent on your deeds. Free it with repentance, istighfar. Lighten it its loads by long prostrations, and know that Allah swears by his might that there is no punishment for the one who prays and prostrates. And he shall have no fear of the fire on the day when man stands before the Lord of the worlds. O people, one who gives iftar to a fasting person during this month will be like one who has freed someone, and his past sins will be forgiven. Some of the people were there then, asked Prophet, not all of us are able to invite those who are fasting. The Prophet replied, Allah gives this reward, even if the iftar meal is a drink of water. So we're coming to the end of the show, brothers and sisters. We thank you for listening. We pray a lot that you have a blessed Ramadan, Ramadan Mubarak, and that you maintain your health, your well-being, your taqwa, and until next time, assalamu alaikum.